The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Mark Newman from the Triangle Radio Reading Service, and for the next half hour, I shall share with you information from various medical sources. The People's Pharmacy, Joe and Teresa Gray and King features. Coconut macaroons fix son's diarrhea. Question. After reading about coconut macaroon cookies for diarrhea in your newsletter, I had my son try this remedy. He has had diarrhea every day for a couple of years. I bought him some Trader Joe's coconut macaroons. They worked on day one of the trial and have worked every day for a month. His stools are soft, but with no diarrhea. Placebo? Well, just yesterday he told me he forgot to eat the cookies 2 days in a row. His diarrhea came back on the second day. A daily macaroon cookie is one, quote, pill, unquote, he now remembers to take. Answer? Many readers have reported that Archway coconut macaroon cookies can help relieve chronic diarrhea associated with irritable bowel syndrome. We're delighted to learn other brands also work. Here's a recipe a listener of our radio show shared. Mix 2 2/3 cup of shredded coconut, 2/3 cup of sugar, 1/4 teaspoon salt, 1 teaspoon almond extract, and 4 egg whites. Drop by teaspoonfuls on a greased cookie sheet and bake for 20 minutes at 325 Fahrenheit or until lightly browned. Question. My husband and I are taking a combination of grape juice and pectin for arthritis pain, and it is definitely helping my hips. But my husband has found another reason for using it. He has been able to stop using all his other aids for constipation. For years, he has had to use Citracel and recently added milk of magnesia to his regimen. But the grape pectin combo, just twice a day, has eliminated the need for anything else. He takes 2 teaspoons in 3 ounces of grape juice twice daily. He's sold on an answer. A reader who was disappointed with gin-soaked raisins for arthritis pain wrote to us over 20 years ago to report that Certo, C-E-R-T-O, in purple grape juice worked wonders for his sore joints. Liquid pectin, or Certo, is soluble fiber extracted from plants. It can be found in the home canning section of grocery stores. That's because it helps thicken jams and jellies. Chinese researchers have confirmed your observation about constipation. They performed a randomized clinical trial testing plant pectin against placebo. Journal. The scientist report, it's a Chinese journal, December 30th, 2014. The scientists reported that soluble dietary fiber accelerated the time food residue passed through the colon and reduced symptoms of constipation. There also was an improvement in the bacterial ecology of the digestive tract. Will vitamin D, as in David, will vitamin D solve the SAD, or seasonal affective disorder, problem? Question. During a very cold winter, I began to feel more sad than usual, as well as fuzzy, forgetful, and achy. This worried me enough to send me to the doctor. All my blood tests were fine except for my vitamin D, which was very low. Some high-dose supplements eventually caught me up, but apparently my ordinary multivitamin hadn't been working. Now I am reading that low vitamin D has been linked to breast cancer, immune problems, and other conditions, as well as seasonal affective disorder, or SAD. If I couldn't get enough sun exposure to make vitamin D where I live, below the Mason-Dixon line, what about people in the north? Can older people who don't go outside get enough vitamin D? Answer. Research links low circulating levels of vitamin D to seasonal affective disorder, or SAD, and depression, and that's cited in Psychiatry Research, May 30th, 2015, and PLOS, which is a study, PLOS-1-O-N-E, September 23rd, 2015. Vitamin D deficiency also has been associated with conditions such as cancer, high blood pressure, arthritis, osteoporosis, diabetes, and multiple sclerosis, cited in Nutrition Journal, December 8, 2010. You are correct that people in northern states may have difficulty getting enough vitamin D. In fact, The National Health and Nutrition Examination Survey showed that 29% of Americans were deficient in vitamin D and another 41% had low levels. And that's cited in the British Journal of Nutrition, April 28, 2018. You can learn more about optimal vitamin D levels and supplements in our guide to vitamin D deficiency. Question. Some years ago, I saw a hand surgeon for a painful thumb. She injected it with cortisone, and then it locked up, so she wanted to operate. Then I read in your column that Boniva can cause intractable joint pain. Lo and behold, I was taking Boniva. I stopped the drug, and soon the pain stopped. No more meds for osteopenia. I am embarrassed to tell you that I am a pharmacist still working after 59 years. Answer, thank you for sharing your experience. Others also have reported joint, muscle, and back pain while taking Boniva. Struggling generic drug makers to get boost from FDA proposals, by Anna Edney from Bloomberg. The U.S. Food and Drug Administration will make it easier for pharmaceutical companies to bring more complex and more profitable generic drugs to market, throwing the struggling industry a crucial lifeline. Unlike relatively simple pills, drugs that combine a medicine with a delivery device can be harder to copy and therefore often don't have a generic competition. For manufacturers that do the extra work required to bring such products to market, they can be more profitable. But regulatory hurdles have made getting them approved more difficult. FDA Commissioner Scott Gottlieb said recently, at a time when generic manufacturers such as Mylan, NV, and Teva Pharmaceutical Industries Limited are hurting. In response, the agency is offering updated proposals to speed copies of drugs that are delivered through patches on the skin, including contraceptive products. A new guideline included among the proposals would help companies that want to copy Hisamitsu Pharmaceutical Company's Combo Patch, which has no generic competition and sold $46.1 million worth of prescriptions last year, according to the data from Bloomberg Intelligence. There are only a few birth control patches on the market, including Combo Patch, and more than 182,000 prescriptions were written last year for Combo Patch, according to Bloomberg Intelligence data. The best-selling contraceptive patch is Mylan's generic copy of Johnson & Johnson's now discontinued Ortho-Evra, E-V-R-A. Mylan's version, Xulane, X-U-L-A-N-E, had 1.5 million prescriptions last year, according to Bloomberg Intelligence. As part of President Donald Trump's effort to bring down drug prices, Gottlieb has been pushing the FDA to help companies with the development of complex generics. In July, the agency issued 10 new draft guidelines and 6 revised ones for complex drugs. The recent announcement includes 2 new guidelines and 23 updated ones. Gottlieb said the FDA plans to issue additional policies in the months ahead. New law helps patients save on meds. President Donald Trump has signed into law 2 bills that would allow pharmacists to tell consumers when paying cash would be cheaper than using insurance for their prescriptions. Under pharmacy gag rules, pharmacists have been prohibited from proactively telling consumers when the prescription would cost less if they paid for it out of pocket rather than using their insurance plan. Pharmacists who disobeyed face penalties. From the Parade magazine, Stay Healthy, The Fight Against Cancer. Innovations in screening and treatment are helping patients beat the odds, by Cheryl Kraft. This year, about 1.7 million people will hear the words, "You have cancer." Yet more and more are surviving. In 2016, there were 15.5 million cancer survivors in the United States, and that number is expected to rise to 20.3 million by 2026. We continue to discover so many new things every day, says Otis Brawley, M.D., Chief Medical and Scientific Officer for the American Cancer Society. In just 1 year, 31 new therapies to treat more than 16 types of cancers were approved by the U.S. Food and Drug Administration. One thing that's not new, screening saves lives. Some estimates say that we can decrease the number of colorectal deaths by 12,000 to 20,000 if screening guidelines were followed, Brawley says. Here are some of the most exciting advances in cancer happening today. Personalized care for breast cancer. In the past, it was tough to identify which women with early-stage breast cancer were at risk for a recurrence. As a result, many received unnecessary chemotherapy, radiation, and hormonal therapy. Now results from a groundbreaking study known as Taylor, T-A-I-L-O-R-X, Taylor RX trial, found that hormone therapy might be all that is necessary to treat 70% of women with the most common form of breast cancer, saving women unnecessary side effects like fatigue, hair loss, nausea, vomiting, and anemia. This means a large number of patients can safely avoid chemotherapy, says Jamie Abraham, MD, director of Cleveland Clinic's breast oncology program. We can really individualize treatment and make sure that we are prescribing the right treatment for the right purpose. The latest innovative treatment. Cancer is traditionally treated with one or more therapies, surgery, chemotherapy, and radiation. That is until recently when immunotherapy joined the toolkit. This treatment is distinct and completely different from the other three, says Timothy Rebick, Ph.D., professor at Dana-Farber Cancer Institute in Boston. Cancer cells grow because they're able to stay hidden from your immune system. Immunotherapy, a type of biological therapy, works by reprogramming a patient's own immune cells to find and attack those cancer cells throughout the body and has been heralded as the advance of the year by the American Society of Clinical Oncology. So far, it's had significant results in young patients with a form of leukemia and adults with multiple myeloma, a type of blood cancer, and lymphoma, a type of cancer involving cells of the immune system, and is extremely promising for treating triple-negative breast cancer, one of the most difficult-to-treat breast cancers. A blood test to diagnose cancer. When tumors develop, they release tiny fragments of substances containing mutated DNA and proteins known as tumor markers into the bloodstream. A simple blood test, which in its research phase was performed on people already diagnosed with cancer, can identify tumor markers associated with 8 common cancer types, 5 of which currently have no screening test, including breast, lung, colorectal, ovarian, liver, stomach, pancreatic, and esophageal cancers. This test has become so fine-tuned that it can identify specifically which part of your body these cells are coming from, says oncologist Larry Norton, MD, medical director of the Evelyn H. Lauder Breast Cancer or Breast Center at Memorial Sloan Kettering Center, Cancer Center in New York City. The Johns Hopkins researchers who pioneered this test called Cancer Seek, S-E-E-K, hope that this will soon be a quick and easy way to detect cancer in early stages when it is usually more successfully treated. A minimally invasive way to remove lung cancer. Treatment for early stage lung cancer usually involves a lobectomy, which removes a portion of the lung by opening up the chest, followed by radiation and chemotherapy. Doctors at the Cleveland Clinic and a small number of other medical centers in the U.S. are striving to make the process faster and less invasive with a new technique called microcal localization, which can pinpoint and remove small bits of affected tissue using a needle inserted through the chest while to remove the cancer at its earliest stage. Minimally invasive surgery results in less pain, shorter hospital stays, and less scarring and possible injury to surrounding tissue. From the Harvard Health Letter, why wound healing gets harder as we age. Controlling underlying conditions and watching for early signs of trouble can go a long way toward prevention. When you skinned your knee as a kid, the scrape healed on its own with little more than a bandage and mom's tender loving care. Now that you're older, wounds can take much longer to heal, sometimes many months. The body's capacity to repair skin diminishes as we get older. There aren't as many growth factors and stem cells in the skin. Chronic disease, especially blood vessel disease, and malnutrition can also slow the healing process, says Dr. Dennis Orgel, a surgeon and medical director of the Wound Care Center at Harvard-affiliated Brigham and Women's Hospital. Stubborn wounds. Wounds that resist healing may result from radiation for cancer treatment or injuries due to falls, but the following tend to be the most common reasons for a wound to get out of hand. Number one is diabetes. People who are diabetic can develop vision problems as well as numbness and pain in the lower legs and feet. That can make it difficult to see or feel a nick or cut. People with diabetes may also have decreased blood flow, particularly in the lower legs and feet. In addition, the cells that create inflammation, which are the first ones to help heal a wound, don't work properly. A little nick can explode into a large wound. It heals slowly and is more prone to infection. Pressure. Pressure injuries are also called bed sores, which sound like small irritations, but these are serious wounds that can suddenly become quite large or deep. The wounds develop when there's pressure from lying down or sitting on areas where the bones are prominent, like the heels, buttocks, hips, head, and lower back. That pressure cuts off blood flow to the soft tissues on top of the bones. If it goes on for more than 4 hours, the tissue is irreversibly damaged and dies, Dr. Orgel says. The deeper the wounds are, the worse they are. Once they get to the bone, they often require surgery to heal. Venous insufficiency. In some older adults, the veins lose their ability to effectively move blood back to the heart. This can cause significant leg swelling and skin ulcers. When you stand up, you get high pressure in the veins and in the legs. If the valves don't work, the blood is under such high pressure that it leaks out of the tissues and into the skin. That can make the skin break down and form a wound. Help with healing. Healing a stubborn wound requires a combination of approaches. A wound care specialist can help. This may be a physician, a specially trained physician assistant, or a certified wound nurse. The first step, Dr. Orgel says, is removing dead tissue, a process called debridement. Dead tissue is contaminated when bacteria and it provides a barrier for cell growth. So you have to get it out of the way, he explains. Debridement may need to be done on a regular basis if tissue continues to die. Wound care also involves special types of dressings based on an individual's needs to create a moist, healthy environment in the wound and promote healing. In some cases, skin grafting is necessary. Another treatment possibility, applying a vacuum to the wound, an approach called negative pressure wound therapy or vacuum-assisted closure, VAC. The suction removes fluid and stimulates healthy cells to multiply. It also promotes the growth of blood vessels to the new tissue. We like to use VAC after a moderate to large wound has been debrided, Dr. Orgel says. What about medication? Only one drug has FDA approval for wound healing. It's a topical gel called Begalplermin or Regranex, R-E-G-R-A-N-E-X. But this medication has a black box warning, the agency's strongest caution level because it has links to cancer. Dr. Orgel says numerous other drugs are in development. Other important steps. Some crucial treatment happens away from the doctor's office and is in the hands of the person with the wound or those caring for the person. That includes these strategies. Offloading. Keeping pressure off the wound is necessary to get blood flowing back to the area. The way you offload depends on the wound location. If it's on the lower back, you can stand or walk. You can also lie down on your side or stomach, but you have to turn every couple of hours to reduce the risk of developing another wound, Dr. Orgel says. If the wound is on the foot, you can use a special boot to redistribute your weight better. exercise. When a person can walk, it gets pressure off the wound and stimulates the body to heal. Supplements. Vitamin C and zinc are essential to enable cells to multiply. A multivitamin should be enough for most people. If you're not healing well, it may be worth checking your nutrient levels to see if you need additional supplements. A healthy diet. Nutrients are most potent when they come from diet. A key to wound healing is protein from lean meat, fish, or poultry, as well as legumes, nuts, and seeds, which provides the amino acids necessary to rebuild the skin. On average, women need 46 grams of protein per day and men need 56 grams, but you may need more. A healthy diet also includes a wide variety of vegetables, some fruit, whole grains, and low-fat dairy foods. Prevention. Exercising, eating right, and switching positions often not only help wounds heal, but also discourage pressure wounds from forming. Getting diabetes under control and treating venous insufficiency as soon as you see the varicose veins can help prevent wounds associated with those conditions. Other tips. Watch for nicks, cuts, and early signs of pressure wounds, skin that doesn't turn white when you touch it. It stays red, and it may be hard. Also, moisturize your skin. Friction from dry skin can promote pressure wounds. In other words, it takes vigilance to ward off wounds. But because wounds can be hard to heal, it's important to make the effort. The Mayo Clinic Health Letter. Carpal Tunnel Syndrome. Protecting hand nerves. In the past few months, waking up in the morning has required waking your hand up too. There's numbness and tingling, and you need to shake your hand to make it subside. Now you're getting the sensation during the day, such as when reading the paper, holding your cell phone, or even during driving, and your hand sometimes aches. Just last night, the discomfort woke you from sleep. Symptoms such as these are typical of carpal tunnel syndrome, a common disorder in which one of the main nerves, the median nerve, providing sensation to much of the hand, is compressed in the wrist. No wiggle room. The wrist has 8 bones called carpal bones. These form the bottom and sides of a narrow passageway on the palm side of the wrist. The palm side is the passageway of the passageways created by a strong band of connected tissue transverse carpal ligament. The median nerve originates from a combination of nerves in the neck region and passes down the arm through the carpal tunnel, quote unquote, and into the hand. Also passing through the carpal tunnel, which is about an inch wide, are 9 tendons that control finger movement. A lubricating membrane, the synovium, covers these tendons. The nerve branches out in the hand, providing sensation to part of the palm and to every finger, but the small or pinky finger and half the ring finger. Compression risk. Carpal tunnel syndrome is caused by compression of the median nerve as it passes through the carpal tunnel. The carpal tunnel is a tight space, and a number of factors can contribute to the narrowing of the tunnel and median nerve compression. Most often, there's no known cause of carpal tunnel syndrome. The risk factors include injury or arthritis, a wrist fracture, dislocation or arthritis that leads to bony outgrowths can narrow carpal tunnel space or directly compress the median nerve. Inflammation due to an injury can enlarge tissues in the carpal tunnel, crowding the median nerve. Next, smaller carpal tunnel. Carpal tunnel syndrome is more common in women. This may be because women have relatively smaller carpal tunnels. Increased risk could also apply to anyone with a smaller carpal tunnel. Next, obesity. Maintaining a healthy weight may prevent carpal tunnel syndrome. Losing excess weight can help reduce symptoms. Next, tissue swelling due to fluid retention. This can occur with menopause, pregnancy, or many other conditions. Next, associated medical conditions. These include thyroid disorders, heavy alcohol use, inflammatory conditions such as rheumatoid arthritis, or nerve damage related to diabetes. And finally, workplace factors. Prolonged work with vibrating tools or repetitive flexing of the wrist may aggravate or cause carpal tunnel syndrome. Symptoms of carpal tunnel syndrome include numbness, burning or tingling in the hand and in the thumb, index, middle, and half of the ring finger. Symptoms can often occur in both hands, but usually are worse in one. Discomfort may start gradually without an easily identifiable cause. Symptoms may come and go at first, and you may be able to relieve them, at least temporarily, by shaking your hands. Symptoms may be more pronounced in the morning or may wake you from sleep. That's because many people sleep with their wrists bent in a way that compresses the median nerve. In addition, symptoms may occur with or be aggravated by certain activities that involve a bent wrist, such as holding a phone or reading a newspaper or book. Talk to your doctor if symptoms come and go or fail to improve after a few weeks. Symptoms most often indicate carpal tunnel syndrome, although similar symptoms may arise from other conditions such as nerve in the neck being pinched. Carpal tunnel syndrome can worsen and symptoms may become more intense and constant. Untreated, you may develop hand weakness or shrinkage of the muscle at the base of the hand, which can be permanent. This can lead to hand clumsiness and difficulty performing certain tasks such as buttoning a shirt, opening a jar, turning a key, or holding objects. Symptoms that are more constant require prompt treatment, as damage to nerves and muscles can be irreversible. Conservative first. Carpal tunnel syndrome treatment depends on severity. For mild to moderate symptoms, conservative treatment may include wearing a wrist splint, modifying daytime hand use by avoiding unnecessary or extreme bending of the wrist, addressing underlying factors such as losing weight if you're overweight or treating a disease that may be contributing, doing various forms of physical therapy, getting a corticosteroid injection into the carpal tunnel, making room if you have severe symptoms or symptoms that progress despite conservative treatment. This conservative treatment, you may choose to have surgery. It's called carpal tunnel release. Mini open technique, which involves a 1-inch long incision in the wrist, endoscopic technique through 1 or 2 incisions, a camera goes in. A third newer technique is called ultrasound-guided carpal tunnel release, and this technique has gained new interest. The new technique doesn't have the track record of the others and may not be in widespread use until its potential is further studied. Early results have been promising, but it should be used only by experts who have been trained with this new technology. Well, we have run out of time for today's episode of Health Issues. Be sure to listen at the same time next week. We hope you've enjoyed, and I'm Mark Newman reading for the Triangle Radio Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. This broadcast is readily available as a podcast after the broadcast at our website, trianglereadingservice.org. So long until next time. If you have any comment or questions, please call 919-832-5138 and stay healthy.